And we're finishing up this section called The Holy Instant and Special Relationships. And we're going to be on paragraph 10. And the course is only talking about love and fear. It's only talking about love and fear. So if you have a problem with the terminology, just substitute love or fear depending on the context that you're reading it in. If we say the holy instant, we're talking about the loving instant. If we're talking about God, we're talking about love or fear. In this class, we're talking about love. In most classes, when we talk about God, people are talking about fear. You know, in a more traditional viewpoint about God, it is all about fear and punishment and all this kind of stuff. But we know that that's not true. Or we want to recognize it's not true. So we're talking about love and we're talking about fear. Also, it's trying to teach us how to recognize when we're in the presence of love and when we're in the presence of fear so that we can start choosing for love and rejecting fear. One of the course's main premises is we don't know when we're in the presence of love and when we're in the presence of fear. What we call love, according to the course, is nothing but another form of fear that we like. So sometimes when people think, oh, I know the difference between love and fear, the course is saying, no, we don't know the difference between love and fear. We know specialness in fear. We know people we single out and try to treat well, and then we know other people we don't know at all, and so sometimes there's fear. So that's not love. What we call love is specialness, according to the course. It's not a sin, but it's not love. I'd rather somebody treat me special in a way than attack me. And you say it's like, I don't mind being singled out for some cool treatment, even if that's not real love yet, than I would being attacked. So it's not anything to feel guilty about. As a matter of fact, if we do this correctly, what we'll have is transform relationships with the people that we already have relationship with, and we'll also draw new relationships that are more compatible with the level of love that we're talking about right now. So this paragraph is going to describe the way that God loves, which is the same thing as saying I'm going to describe the way real love operates, so we won't have any doubt about the difference between the two. All your relationships are blessed in the holy instant, which we said what is the loving instant or the healing instant. Because the blessing isn't limited. In the healing instant, the sonship gains is one, and united in your blessing, it becomes one to you. The meaning of love is the meaning God gave to love. Give to love any meaning different from the meaning God gave to love, and it's impossible to understand love. This is the way it works. God, which is love, loves every brother as God loves you. Neither less nor more. The Creator needs all of us equally, and so do we. So that's it. If it's love, then it's equal. If it's love, no one's love more, no one's love less by love, by the Creator. So that's not really complicated. If it's real love, does it apply to everybody equally?
Yes.
If it's real love, are you loved more or less by the Creator?
No.
It's all the same, right? So that means no one's loved more than you. There's no one that's loved more than you by love, by the Creator. Now, is there anyone more special to you than you to other people? Absolutely. Does everybody treat you equally specially? No, they won't, and no, they don't. So we're absolutely accurate in that perception. No. I don't mean as much to you probably as your child does, if you have a child. Because your child is more special to you than I am. But that wouldn't be true of love. But that wouldn't be true of love. That would not be true of love. That would not be true of love. That would not be true of real love. But that's very true of specialness. Next thing it says is, in time you have been told to offer miracles as I direct. And let the Holy Spirit bring to you those who are seeking you. Okay, here's instruction then. So we're in time, so we are to offer miracles. Now, The Course in Miracles definition of miracles is a correct perception. If we have a correct perception, it's a miracle. So my function is to offer you correct perceptions. And the correct perception is, here's an example of one. A correct perception is God loves you equally as much as anybody else. And love loves you equally as much as anyone else. You deserve love. You are innocent. You are free. You deserve forgiveness. You are the creator of your experience. You are powerful. These are correct perceptions. And for everyone to talk to you like that in this world is a miracle. That's why it's called A Course in Miracles. But to be around people who are saying to you the things I'm saying to you is a miracle. You've all been in the world long enough to know that. This is not regular dinner conversation. Right? So that means we are experiencing a miracle right now. And at first it'll seem like it only happens in specialized places, like coming to classes and groups of people that you study with. I know from my own experience that after a while it starts to extend out into the world, and it starts to come back to you through strangers and people that you don't even know will be telling you the same thing. I promise you that. You'd be amazed at things that people have told me on the elevator. It blows my mind sometimes. So we got two purposes, he says, in time. You offer miracles as I direct, and you can call I, Holy Spirit, your higher self, Jesus, Spirit, divine mind, whatever you want to call it, that will get you in touch with the ideas that there's a higher power. There's an intelligence greater than what's sitting in the chair. Because the intelligence, the person that's sitting in the chair, basically is the ego. That's who's sitting here. The ego is the part of the mind that looks like it's in the body looking out. Very clear about the ego? The ego is the part of you, the part of your mind that looks like it's inside a body looking out. So it's really not the you that you think you are that I'm even talking to in this class. Did you know that? I am not talking to your egos. Because your ego has no interest in the truth. Your ego is what distracts you when loving thoughts come your way. It's the one, while I'm telling you that you're loved equally by all things, by the Creator, when I tell you that a loving mind will tell you how deserving of love you are and how powerful you are and how free, your ego is the part of you that will tune out, that will think about what you're going to do later, think about how it's not true. See, I'm not even talking to that part. And you have to stop worrying about that part too. You're not coming to the class to correct your ego. Just leave your ego alone. Let your ego be an ego. You know what I'm saying? Let that part that doubts doubt. Let that part that fears fears. Let that part that doesn't trust keep on not trusting. That's all it's going to do anyway. That's what it was made to do. I created it to doubt. I created it to have suspicion of people. I made that part of my mind up, and that's its job. I need to leave it alone. But what I do need to do is to start investing in other thoughts that my real self has. And my real self is what's telling me that God loves everybody as God loves you, neither more nor less. God needs you equally than everybody else, that you should be given correct perceptions in time. And here's my favorite part. Let the Holy Spirit bring to you those who are seeking you. Let God bring to you those that are seeking you. Let the universe bring to you those that are seeking you. Let love bring to you those who are looking for you. Let the part of you that is correct and healed bring to you those who are seeking you. Because if we do this right, you have incredible relationships. And you may call it a special relationship. It may look like it's that soulmate you've been waiting for all your life. Or it may seem like there's many people you feel this connected to. If you do this right, you will have the kinds of relationships you've always dreamed of that you never thought was possible. But you have to give correct perceptions and let love start bringing the people to you. Let spirit start bringing the people to you. And not you. And then the ego blows up because, you know, what do you mean, not me? Well, the Course says, we need to resign as our own teacher. It says, which we would surely do if we honestly looked at the result of what we tried to do on our own. Yeah, right. If you're a person and you've had relationships, and I'm not just talking about romantic relationships now. I'm talking about relationships with anything. That can be your money situation, that can be your body, that can be your friends, that can be your relatives, that can be yourself, that can be your car, that can be God, that can be your house, that can be your plumbing, that can be anything you have a relationship with. This is what this book is about, healing our perception of all relationships. Because many times people think, well, I don't have a romantic relationship, so what this is talking about is not relevant to me. And that's not true at all. You have relationships. You couldn't exist without relationships. If it's just a checkout person, you have a relationship for that few seconds. And I want all my relationships to be freeing, safe, loving, and supportive. That's what I want. That's what I want. I want it. I'm telling you how bad I want it. I want it so bad. I'm actually trying to be it myself. I know it's a radical concept. I need y'all's support on this. I know it's radical. I'm actually not waiting for people to be that way with me. I'm going to be that way with people. And then see who shows up. See who's attracted to a sane man. So far, not a whole lot. But I'm holding faith. I'm going to stay on course. Sanity isn't very popular in the fearful world.
No.
It's really not. Mm-hmm. People are much more attracted to drama than they are to a peaceful person. It's amazing to watch. I do it too. So, then it says, yet in the holy instant, in the healing instant, you unite directly with God. Is God love? Is God love?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, so in the healing instant, you unite directly with love. And all your brothers join in Christ. Now, of course, describes the Christ as simply your real self, the self we all share, the extension of the love that created us. It's not the traditional perception of Christ. Love created love. We are the love that love created. So we are the son or the mind of God. When the Course says son, it's not talking about a man. It's not using sexual terminology the way we do. So I want to acknowledge people who go beyond the masculine terminology in 2006. That's very powerful because we're at a time now where we're pretty much, you don't really deal a lot with that anymore. So that's great that you're willing to go beyond the terminology to the content. Yay. And so what I try to do is take that and then give it like a modern language version by sharing the definitions that the Course itself gives as opposed to the ones I make up. I'll let you know when I'm making up one. Okay. 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 It's the crisis. Christ is nothing but the self we all share. It's the extension of the love that created us. So another way of saying this would be, in the healing instance, you unite directly with the Creator, which is love, right? God, and all your brothers. And the Course says a brother is nothing but a mind that's joined with yours. It's not a male body. It's not a female body. It's nothing but a mind or a spirit that's joined with yours. So you are minds that are joined with my mind. You are spirit that's connected to me. So the Course says, now one of the reasons why it's written this way is purposely written this way so that it cannot be spared read. It's purposely written the way it's written, and that iambic pentameter, that whole thing, all of that. It's just so it won't be another book that we go zip, 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 bookcase. Right? Then we get it because we all know how to read. Bookcase. If you try to do it the Course, you know you can't. You go, your mind will fry. You can't do it. You can't do it. You have to stop for a minute and go, what the hell did I just read? To anybody that's read it, know that statement. Right? Those of you who are studying it, you know you go, I just read a whole paragraph and I don't know what I just read, and I'm a reasonably intelligent person. That is purposely that way. So you have to stop and go, let's say it again. In the holy instant, what, the healing instant, you unite directly with God. And all your brothers, minds that are joined with you, join in Christ, the self we all share. So in love, we join with the self we all share. Those who are joined in Christ, let's say, the self we all share, are no, in no way separate. Now, what does that mean? The Course says separate means different. So every time you hear the word separate, just substitute different, and it'll give you a different slant. If when I say I'm separate from you, I'm saying I'm different from you. So if we are really joined in the self we share, we're in no way different. In other words, all of us share in the love. All of us have equal access to the love. All of us have equal access to the guidance. The only difference between us is our perception. And it's pretty convincing. I mean, it looks like, you know, I'm a black dude. For those of you who are not in denial, you know I look like a black dude. Because people tell me they never noticed. And I go, are you blind? What you mean you never noticed? I don't have a problem with being black. That's cool. You can say I'm a black person. That's great. This is the role I chose in this life to learn the spiritual lessons I needed to learn. It was my choice. I went to the body store with my spiritual teacher, and we picked out my next body to come into this experience to learn how to love more. And I chose to be a hell of a dancer this time around. And really get a lot of spiritual truth. You know, there were some other little things about it I didn't realize, but we won't talk about it. Other little knickknacks about being born in the South in the black body. But that's all right. That's all right. That was my choice. So do you get it? If you went to the body store and you chose to be a woman, then you did that because you probably wanted to learn some lessons through being a woman. Now, the way that the Course... Now, love doesn't have a sex. So if you're truly into love, it's not a man got to love a woman got to love a woman, or a man's got to love a man. All of that's ego. All that's ego. Heterosexuality, homosexuality, bisexuality, bestiality, it's all ego. Because love does not choose one form over another. Now, that doesn't make you guilty if you're in any of those games or any of those roles, but it's not love. But you can learn how to experience love through any type of relationship you've chosen. Is that cool? So that means if you're playing the game of gay, playing the game of straight, playing the game of bi, playing the game of none of it, you will learn it all. No matter what game you're playing, love can come through that game. The ego attacks people for the game they're playing. The ego judges the game we're all playing. Right? So the conservative judges the liberal game. The liberal judges the conservative game. The traditional game judges, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's all games, and it's all stories. Right? It's all games, it's all stories. You tell me your story, I tell you my story. Whoever got the sad story wins. Isn't that weird? I tell you my game, you tell you your game. Then I envy other people their game because I chose a game that looked like it was a little bit more challenging than the game that they chose. I could have chosen an easy game. I could have just as easily chose the game of being born into something I thought was really, really easy. I could have chosen to be born into the game where I had all my limbs instead of being born one leg, if that was the case. So I could have chose the game where I was not born blind. I could have chose the game. Every soul chooses the game that they're playing when they come here. But you have to forget you chose the game in order to take the game seriously. So therefore you go into the sleep of forgetfulness when you come here, and you really now think you are the woman, the man, the separate person, the straight person, the gay person, the bad person. Because now, when you start to wake up, all that means is, oh, I'm ready to wake up to the awareness that I chose the game. You still will be in the body. I'm not going to change my color just because I'm studying the Course. What's going to happen is I'm going to learn all of the cool reasons I chose it in the first place and start allowing myself to have the blessings that being this way would give me to join with everybody. So when you wake up, you still look like you're in the body. The difference is what you'll be using it for, how you will be using it, and that you won't be using it to hurt yourself and others anymore through it. And you love it. And you love it. You enjoy it. You enjoy your physical body. You enjoy your physical circumstances. You enjoy your one-on-one relationships. If you're monogamous, you just love it. If you're polyamorous, you just love it. And if you're none of it, you just love it. You just love the game. You love your game. Because now you know what your game is for. Then you love your game, watch your game become a happy game, and then you're open to another level, which is beyond the game altogether, called reality, which is better than the game. The game can't even compare to it. If you can't, because if you can't jump from the game to awakening, from a miserable game to awakening, you don't do that. You go from a miserable game to a happy game to awakening. You go from a miserable life to your perception, to a lovable life, then you wake up to whatever is next. So you don't have to skip over your kids' graduation. You still can get that home in Hallows Ranch. You know, you still can make that trip to Haiti. You know what I'm saying? It's like there's nothing, there's no sacrifice being asked of you. That was the path before this one. You don't have to give up anything. And any time your mind tells you, well, you do have to give up one thing, pain. And you'll find out, much to your surprise, that there's a part of you that loves pain. Does not want to give it up. You know why? Because the pain is how you work off the debt of your sin and guilt. So you cannot take away pain from a person that believes in sin and guilt. A person that believes in sin and guilt believes they have to atone for their sins. And suffering is the popular method, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't it suffering?
Yeah.
So then that means there's a whole generation of people that believe that suffering is the way to healing. And if you try to get them to stop believing in suffering and sin before they are ready, they will attack you and they will be afraid of you. It will make you be separate from your relatives more than closer to your relatives who believe that way. The temptation will be, you're going to go and share all of this. You know, you just see them as innocent in your mind. And when you're around them, every time you get a chance, somehow or another you let them know they appreciate it so they can know more of their innocence. It's kind of sneaky. I admit it. It's kind of sneaky. You're going to be loving them behind their backs. Okay? You're going to be appreciating them, and they may not even be saying anything. You may have a totally straight face, but inside your heart you're going, let peace and love extend from me to you. Let love come into your life. Let peace. Because they're not on a level of consciousness that they can take a compliment directly and they'll just repel it. You've met people like that? That the hardest thing in the world to do is to compliment them or say anything nice to them or to give them anything. There are a lot of lousy receivers out there. So the easiest way to help people who are deep in fear and guilt is silently and through the way you treat them. Now, you'll be sent people. The Holy Spirit will send you. Your loving mindset will bring you those who are seeking you. Now, those who are seeking you at a spiritual level would be people who meet you the way you are. That's how you can tell when you run up on one of them. The way you are is quite enough. They won't need more. Except for you to be more you. It'd be great. Wouldn't it be great to be around somebody that wasn't trying to control you but just was asking you to be more you? Which kind of gives you a kind of little bit of a dilemma if you have no earthly idea who you are yourself. And you're used to using other people to direct you and tell you what to do and give your life meaning and give your life purpose. And all of a sudden you're responsible for your own experience and you don't know what the heck to do with it, because when you're in the presence of love, it's never trying to control you. So now there's nobody to blame, doggone it. You know? Ah, I love this. It's so good. Now, Brother Aaron, what was it you wanted to say?
Oh, man, right in the insight. Well, first, it's two parts.
Okay.
I want to know if I'm asking an honest question.
Okay.
And here's the question. Can you see more about the difference between specialness versus preferences?
They're exactly the same. They're not different. The preference is specialness. But what's okay is for you to have them. But now, in terms of preference and script, preference and control, that's two different things. I can prefer that you fix me dinner, which is different from me demanding that you fix me dinner. So I can prefer that you come home on time. That's different from me demanding that you come home on time. But both of them are specialists, because both of them represent something that's more important to you than your peace. You know, because you still think there's got to be a certain thing, a certain way for you to feel good, even if you call it a preference. It's a good training. It's a great training step. I think from script to preference is great. But see, I keep forgetting what Spirit told me. Spirit told us that I can bring to you those who are seeking you. See, there's no sacrifice. It's a whole lot easier to have a good time with somebody who wants to be with you, who appreciates you, and who likes it the way you are, than to spend your time trying to be with someone who is afraid of you, doubts you, has suspicion about you, and doesn't know how to communicate and doesn't know how to join. The infinite intelligence of the universe called God knows what parts of itself fills that role in your life, because it knows all things. We don't. There's not a person in this room can tell me exactly to the detail what they're going to be doing 2 hours from now. So it's obvious that the us that's sitting in the chair isn't the us this book is talking to. Now, what the us that's sitting in the chair can do is learn new responses to what's being created by another part of itself. Does that make sense? In other words, I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I can be taught the correct response for whatever happens in the future. So at our level of consciousness, what we're supposed to be learning is correct response techniques. We don't know what's going to happen. We can have preference. We can set a goal, but we don't know. Again, the book says, well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. If you're ready, I'll tell you how it's going to end up. It's going to end up with you being in total fulfillment forever. That's the end. If you had to walk in at the end of this movie, you would have seen the end and it went, and we lived happily ever after. And then you would sit there and you wait till the movie started over, and then you would watch everything that the person went through to get to the ending where you came in. And you saw them ride off happily, right? The Course in Miracles has the audacity to say that's exactly what's happening to you right now. You made it. Everything's going to be okay. But what you are experiencing is what you went through to get there. Part of what you went through to get back to total peace and fulfillment was that it was on July the 5th, at 12:35, you came into a room with a guy named Earl who said this class while you sat in a chair and listened to it. That was what happened before you were enlightened. Isn't that a different relationship to time? It's kind of trippy. It's kind of really kind of trippy. It's just like the movie Groundhog Day, which should be a required movie for all spiritual aspirants. No spiritual aspirant should ever not read Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. Right? Because what happened? What was the premise of the movie? He started reliving the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And what started happening toward the end of the movie?
He learned to love.
How did he learn to love? What happened? Was he getting to the point that he could predict
everything?
He could predict everything that was going to happen before it happened, because what? It had already happened before, over and over and over and over. And some of you are real good at practicing Groundhog Day in your relationships. You already know what's going to happen as soon as you give them the phone number. You already know as soon as you put your application on their job, because you've done it a million times before. You start out pleased, and then after a while there's something about the job that you don't like, then you get dissatisfied with the job, and then somehow or another you do away with the job, or the job seems to do away with you, and then you go find another. Or you form a relationship, it seems at the beginning that this is the one, then you begin to notice flaws in each other that you wish were different, and get to the point that you separate again. And then you look for someone else that will do better than the last one. It's like we're doing Groundhog Day all the time. And the Course in Miracles is like saying, well, you could get to that point where, since you know what's going to happen, you could prevent it by making a different choice this time. Or you can do Groundhog Day again. Now, how can you tell if you're about to do the repeat again? Well, one of the ways you can tell is it will be what you call an attraction to someone. That's your clue. How can you tell? Right, because who was it that was attracted the last time?
The ego.
It was. Didn't I choose the last one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wasn't I attracted to the one before that one?
Yes.
Okay. Just be honest with yourself.
Yes.
And if you go all the way back to elementary school and high school, weren't you the one that was attracted to those ones?
Yes.
Those ones?
Right.
So by now, shouldn't you be getting that the person you are attracted to is probably just like everyone else, unless you've truly changed your perception, right? And if you truly change your perception, then it means that you would be able to recognize a loving person when they would show up. Now, what would a loving person be like? First of all, they would see themselves as the same as you. They would not want to attack you. They would be taking responsibility for their experience and not blaming their last friendship or last lover or last boss or last job for their unhappiness. They'd have a different conversation. You could communicate. You would feel safe. They would be reinforcing your innocence and your beauty as you are. And they'd be willing to share with you. They'd be open-minded. They'd be willing to, like, you know, check out what you're about. They would listen. They would listen. They would be open. If they don't have those kind of qualities, Groundhog Day, another groundhog has just shown up. That groundhog might be driving a Lexus. That groundhog might be making $200,000 a year. That groundhog may be making none. That groundhog may be looking like the body you've always dreamed of. That groundhog might... You see what I'm saying? You gotta recognize the groundhog.
But wouldn't you be attracted to a loving person?
Not until you became clear about what love is. You wouldn't have anything to go by. Because we are making choices based on our past values and beliefs. Why did you choose that person over another person? It was because of what you've learned. It's because of the needs that you have defined for yourself. And so I think this person is going to be a way for me to meet them. Even if I say I have a need for spiritual awareness, well, I'm still going to look around me and see who do I think is going to fit that bill. So hear what I'm saying. I know it's hard to admit that we're lousy choosers. It is. I know that this is not popular to hear. That's why I ask people, I'm not saying you feel defensive. I'm just saying, before you feel defensive, just be honest with yourself. Just really be honest with yourself. How many relationships of different kinds have you had? And how many relationships have you had that started out very peacefully and then went into conflict and turmoil and separation? Just be honest with yourself. So all the book is saying is this. The once you begin to recognize love, what you'll do is this. If I'm attracted to somebody, this is what I run down to myself. First of all, if you're attracted to somebody, don't lie to yourself. That's the first thing people do. They lie to themselves. They'll say, I'm attracted to you because I really want a spiritual relationship, and I'm really attracted to you because of something that you own or have in the way you look. That's why I'm attracted to you as opposed to the person with the hump in their back. If I had a choice between a hump in the back person that was enlightened and a person that really looked however I thought people ought to look for me to be turned on, you know who we going for, right? We're not bringing a humpback person. So for us to pretend that we even operate that way would be the lie, right? So I need to tell myself the truth. And this is how I do that. I say, would I want to be with this person if they didn't have a body? Okay? Would I want to be with this person if they did not have... If I had to listen to this mind all the time, would I shoot myself or would I fall more in love every day? If I was trapped on a deserted island, would I want to have to spend all my time communicating with this person or not? Take away their body, take away their appearance, take away what they have, and would I want to be with this man? And real quick, you'll find out whether your urge is a security urge or a sexual urge or even something coming from your subconscious mind and programming that you don't even understand coming back from childhood. You know, attractions can be based if a person believes in the idea of reincarnation, which you don't have to in order to benefit from the Course, because the Course says that. Because the Course isn't interested in anything you can't do right now. And reincarnation is theoretical, and so it's not interested in theoretical issues. But for those of you who got a strong sense that we couldn't have possibly gotten in this condition in one lifetime, those of you who believe that no loving God would make you have to perfect it all in one lifetime, being born unequally, that no sane, fair creator would even do that, those of you who got like hinted that, right? You have to ask that would explain a lot of times attractions that people can't explain any other way. You know what I'm saying? If you were a female this time, last time, and you were male this time, it may explain some of your stuff. If you was a male sometime and female, that might explain some of your stuff. If you already had been learning with this person at another time, and now you've met again, it may explain some attractions that you don't even understand yourself. But be clear of why you are attracted. You are attracted to the person because they are about to give you an opportunity to learn a lesson in how to really love. And that's the attraction that you feel. It's the attraction to the learning experience that that person can provide you, and at a soul level, you know it. Okay. So from an ego perspective, my ego sees something it can get. From the Holy Spirit perspective, I see another opportunity to really have some real fun and some real love and some real growth. So, if you feel an attraction, take a moment and ask yourself, am I willing to experience the results of this person's thoughts and thinking with them? Because that's what you're saying when you form a relationship. You're saying, I am willing to experience the effects and results of how you feel and think and act and behave with you. Because now I'm with you. So therefore, however you think, act, and behave, I'm going to somehow or another be affected by that. You see what I mean? So again, when you say relationship, you're talking about me and you going through something how? Together. Do I want to experience the results of the way this person thinks with them? Am I about to enter into a relationship with you? Now, here's a cool part about a healing love relationship. A healing love relationship works this way. Whatever joy and love that I experience, you experience it with me. I don't think there's one of you that if you, just as a hypothetical situation, won a lottery today, that would not allow the effect of that to benefit their friends and loved ones. Absolutely, you would. So they are feeling the effect of your love, your experience, you see what I'm saying? So in a healing, in a holy relationship, you are experiencing the results of love and joy and peace together. And what of course calls an unholy relationship, this just means unhealed. In an unhealed relationship, you're experiencing fear and conflict and upset and lack together. So if you form a relationship with someone who doesn't have the goal of love, doesn't have the goal of truth, then they're not going to speed you along. They're going to delay you. Because when you form a relationship, it should make your burdens lighter. Both of your burdens lighter. It's a result of us being together. I'm trying to lift this heavy table by myself. You can't tell me that it wouldn't be easier if somebody else picked up the other end of the table. So a relationship is supposed to lighten your experience. Have you noticed that that's not the case with a lot of people? Even you. How many of you have been like tripping along, doing great? Then you get in a relationship and all of a sudden your life has become enormously complex. And all of a sudden you everything is slowed down. You're feeling depressed, you're feeling angry, you're feeling, you know, that's the fear of a relationship. Okay? This is trying to take us into the healed relationship, which means the opposite will happen. You will start to form relationships with people who, as a result, your life becomes easier. Anybody for that?
Yeah.
Y'all with me? You want that enough to really hear the truth?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I'm going to go through the next paragraph, and we're going to finish on this paragraph. And then we're going to go into the holy instant, the healing instant, and the laws of God tomorrow night, which is like the healing instant and the laws of love. Like, I need to learn what are the laws or the rules of real love and how I can have a healing instant. So I know what the ego would say. The ego would try to make you hear what I've said today in such a way that you would think you would lose. Okay, so be clear. If you're listening to me and somehow you feel like what I've said deprives you of something, then you know who you're listening to. So then it's just a matter of will you choose to side with the part of you that says that what I've said makes you lose, or do you want to side with the part of you that heard me say there is no sacrifice on this path and everything in your life, including your attractions, can be used for your total fulfillment if you learn the rules. You got those are your two choices. So that's all I've said.
But, Earl?
Yeah.
You said in an attraction relationship, special attraction relationship, that the ego sees an opportunity to get something, whereas the Holy Spirit sees an opportunity for real growth.
Mm-hmm.
What would that real growth look like in that kind of situation?
The real growth in that situation would look like you giving each other freedom and responsibility for yourselves in the relationship. It would look like me supporting your peace and your innocence instead of judging you, criticizing you, condemning you. It would sound like you saying you really wanted to experience something, and I would try to see how I could be supportive in that experience if it was based on love. You see what I'm saying?
You're saying the special relationship would be the one that would be tempted most to not do that.
Yeah. The special relationship is a relationship that's based on the drive to get out of a sense of lack and need, and because I don't feel like nothing's treating me really special, so at least one, I call it the personally famous relationship. It's like I might not be Brad Pitt, but I better be Brad Pitt for you. You see what I'm saying? You are going to give me the specialness that God did not give me. You're going to give me everything. I'm unrecognized by the world generally, right? But you are going to make me feel special. You see what I'm saying? So the whole premise of a special relationship, when it's fear, is about getting. Now, I can turn around and go, do the same thing and go, oh, you are my special relationship, okay? Then that means that I've singled you out. But guess what? You just hit the lottery. Because now I've singled you out to receive every real loving expression of myself that I can possibly come up with. Mm-hmm. Which means now I want to support who you are. I never want to attack you. I want you to always feel safe. I want you to always feel like you can talk to me about anything. I want you to feel good about you. I took the exact same person in the exact same relationship, and I gave it another purpose, and now it's not, and now it's what the Course would call a holy relationship. So the Course is not anti-special the way most people define special. It's just saying a fearful mind defines a special relationship in terms of getting, and a loving mind defines a relationship in terms of joining. Same person. Nobody's asking you to get rid of anybody. But it's also saying spirit can bring you the perfect friendships, everything. Not just lovers. I'm not just talking about lovers. I'm going to say that over and over again. I'm not just talking the perfect dog. You know, whatever it is you think you want. If you want to use it as a lesson in love instead of a lesson in fear. That's the only real issue. Now, if you've already defined who should be that person, and now that person is more important to you than the love, that's your idol. And the Course says, you will surely weep each time an idol falls. And I always think about that line. If I'm tempted, if I'm in like there's a relationship situation of some type, and I'm like tempted to be, you know, all emotional and upset, it's like, oh my God, I just discovered another idol. This is my idol. Because I'm giving my peace away. I'm giving all of my happiness away because of this form and what this form isn't doing. I love that, man. It's like, I don't beat myself up if I'm crying. I don't beat myself up like I used to. I would go, oh my God, it's another false idea. Recognize, that's what an idol is. It's another false idea. Something that I'm worshiping that isn't real. That's why I'm crying. Because I surely would not be crying for something that was real. If it was real, it would be happening. If it was real, it would be happening. If it was real, it would be happening. I'm crying because it's not real. Yeah, I'm sad because the relationship is not real. So now what I want to do, I want to get to the real relationship. I mean, that's what this is about. It's about how to get to the real relationship with those you know, as well as how to be open to real relationships being brought to you. So I'm going to stop here. And that's where the Course really came in great. You know what I'm saying? Because you waste all these months and years if you could be enjoying your body and enjoying your physical experience and enjoying your life because you got these grievances and these insecurities and all these things that you're telling yourself to keep you from enjoying it now. Somebody you're trying to get to be a certain way that won't be this way. And, you know, and one day you're going to wake up and you're going to see all that delay you did, and that's when you'll need to practice what the Course says and remind yourself that you're innocent and that it was for your own best interest and that you learned some very valuable lessons so that you won't beat yourself up for all of that needless waste of time in a way. So it's like, it's a waste of time, but it also can be looked at as helpful. You know, and some people don't know what I'm talking about. You wake up and you go, oh my goodness, I cannot believe I spent this kind of time and energy in this situation, the circumstance, or holding this anger all this time, or not letting myself enjoy because of some crazy stuff I learned in the past. Wow. And then you have to forgive yourself because you really did it really fast. If you did it in this lifetime, if you realized it in this lifetime, then you really did it fast. Because we're ancient, and you don't know how many millions of years you've been asleep. Yeah. Millions. But you can wake up in an instant, right? No matter how long you've been sleeping at night, can't they wake you up in the instant? Thank you for sharing with me in my full-time ministry with the Course. You all, I appreciate it. I live off the love offerings from my classes, so I appreciate those who appreciate it, showing it in a way that helps me in a practical way in the world. Thank you. And I thank those of you however you show your appreciation. Remember, I'm just you. I'm a part of you, and you're a part of me, and we're all a part of each other. It's going to get more loving, so I want to warn you. It's going to get more loving. So I want to warn you. I want to give you a loving warning.
Girl.
Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I don't know if it's too deep right now.
Well, I'll let you know if it's something I can do answer quick. So go ahead.
According to the Course, how does one, respond or take care of feelings about the war? In those kinds of situations?
Well, the answer that he gives will probably be alarming to the ego, which is you specifically to look at that situation and say, God did not create the war in Iraq. And so it is not real. Now, then the ego freaks, and then you have to get to what the Course in Miracles definition of real is, which is constant, permanent, and everlasting. So that's the same as saying, first of all, it wasn't God. It's not God that's creating the war. So it's not the Creator nor love that's creating the war. So what that tells me right there is that therefore there is something greater than me that I can go to ask for the right way to look at the war. Because what I need is another way to look at it. Another way to look at it, right? And then it says, and then remind myself it is not real, by that meaning that it is not permanent, it is not going to be everlasting. So that immediately puts your mind in the mindset of this is something that is going to end. So therefore, you're not supporting the energy being extended. You're actually supporting the energy ending. Then you will be told on an individual basis what it is you should do personally, which I can't tell you what that is. You see what I'm saying? Because what you want to do is you want to set up the right attitude and right state of mind, which is the God didn't create it and it's not going to last. And then your own inner guide will then tell you specifically what you ought to do to help that happen in a peaceful way. That's why I can't say specifically what you'd be told. But what the Course tries to do, and I'm glad you asked that question, what the workbook lessons do is the workbook lessons set up the frame of mind that allows you to hear your personal guidance, which would be different from person to person. That's why I try not to give cut and dry black and white answers for human problems, because it's an individual curriculum. But first I got to open my mind to the answer. So first I have to go to that space of, you know, God did not create this. Love did not create this. What created me, the fear made this. You know what I'm saying? It was ego that made the war in Iraq. That did not come from God. And it represents the war in my own mind. Because it's just a reflection on the outer of what's going on inside of me. I got a war in Iraq going on too. You see what I'm saying? And I'm both sides. And I clash. I have thoughts that are opposite, that clash with each other. So we have countries that are opposite, that clash. It's all just out-picturing what's going on in consciousness. So the first place we have to change it is in consciousness. And then the physical expression, whatever that's supposed to look like, and I don't know how that's supposed to look, you know, because I don't really know what's for my own best interest. I don't really know what this is all about, to tell the truth about it. We could look back at some point in history and say, that was the best thing that could have ever happened. We don't know. You see what I'm saying? We just judged it from where, all I know is I want peace now. I want love now. You know, and so I would never get in a discussion with someone about it in an opposite point of view where we're clashing with each other, because that's just a further reinforcement of the same dynamic that's happening over there. That's why I don't get into all that kind of stuff with people, politics, religion, none of that stuff, because you're never gonna change another person's mind in a conversation who believes that they're right and want to stay that way. So it's entertaining if you want to do it. If you want to do it for entertainment, you might have some entertainment value to get into what you think of it. So let me show you my point of view. Well, let me give you my point of view. But it's really just, this is a game. You're not going to change their mind. You know they're not going to change yours. But it makes a lot of sense for me to talk about peace with a person that wants to talk about peace. See, that's who you get into the conversations with. You get into the conversation with the people who share your purpose. Because you weaken another person's belief system, according to the courts, you weaken another person's belief system automatically by not sharing it. All you have to do is don't believe it, and you weakened it in terms of you are not contributing to the strength of it. That's what I mean by weakening. I'm not another person that's joining with this idea and making it stronger. So the most I can do to weaken a belief is simply not to oppose it and not to believe it. And it weakens it. Isn't that different?
That's great.
Isn't that great?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. This is cool stuff. I'm telling you, this is cool stuff, and you're cool.
And earlier.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I finished this poem last night, and it actually addresses your question, because it's something I recite to myself when I start to believe in the temptation.
Uh-huh.
And if you
absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Great way to complete.
A forgiven need. No matter what, no matter who, it matters not what they say or do. Spirit informs me, forgive it and heal, simply because this world isn't real. Here and now, I'm willing to see the truth as it's revealed to me. With no more story, reason, or rhyme, I'm tap dancing on the edge of time. So thanks but no thanks, I won't make this real. I have come to love. I have come to heal. Joined in light, forgiven and free, I am as God created me.
Wow. And what were you about to say?
Oh, just when I shared with you that my mom had cancer, that would be my equivalent of a war somewhere, and you just said, wow, she's just really in a big call for love. And that was changed my whole perception. When I realized that she was in a call for love, I realized that means I'm not to be offering her fear. And that the love and trust go together. So now I need to actually trust her and trust her process and trust God. And that her call for love was also my call for love. Because it was hurting me, it's also my call for love.
Mm-hmm. And what happened?
Well, miracle. I gave her 2 months to live, but...
What happened?
Well, she's doing great now.
So what I'm saying is it's great to hear the good news.
Yeah.
don't leave the good news out. You know what I'm saying? We all need to do that. We all need to share the good news.
To be more specific, what happened was she also answered. The moment that I saw her differently, I saw her change. And she started taking in love from whatever form it took, whether it was allopathic medicine or naturopathic medicine or whatever way, whatever agents love would send that she could accept and believe in, she just, you know, the doors went open.
Thank you. That's what I'm saying. The once you got into the frame of mind of healing, and then the specifics work themselves out. And that's the beauty of the Course in Miracles. And we're freaked out on specifics. But we won't go to the state of mind where the healing lies. And that's what it's saying. So go to the state of mind, then the specifics. But go to the state of mind first. The ego wants to do the opposite. Just do specifics, and hopefully specifics is going to take me to the state of mind. It's like, no. State of mind first. Thank you for sharing. Thank you, everybody. This class today really covered it. I mean, if there ever was a CD that is valuable, it's the one I did today. It really covered it. All of it, from A to Z. And right, that's what I'm saying. So it's not that I'm trying to sell CDs.
No.
It's just that I know when things have been covered after 25 years of doing this. And so what we said today and what we heard today, whenever you're in fear about any kind of relationship in any way, and you wonder what's the point of this or what's the purpose of this, you could pop this in and you could come back into awareness. So I'm just throwing that out there. You have the answer. You have the answer. Okay? And I love you. And hope to see some of y'all tomorrow night at 1 o'clock. Oh, yeah, 1 o'clock on Sunday. And those of you who are new to class, I make copy that's been going to this class or study the course about, know that what? We go into the sleep of forgetfulness. We walk out of the door, and before we know it, we're talking the way we talked before. And so the CDs really help bring it back. Oh yeah, that's right. This attraction that I'm having, I shouldn't look at it like it's a mistake just because I'm feeling an attraction. But what it is reminding me of is that I need to stop and ask myself a question like, what is this for? You know, what is my purpose? See what I'm saying? It's like, oh, okay, this is a lesson in love. I'm here to share, not just to get. And is this person reflecting love to me, or are they reflecting fear to me? You know what I'm saying? It's like, that's what I'm talking about, you see. That's what makes the difference. Because your ego is going to always be attracted to the person that reminds you of the person from the past. Even if it looks like it's different when they first walk up. And you deserve love. Now. Okay? All right.
All right.
A great guest speaker.